Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Jamie Partridge, your host this evening, and we're talking tonight about Amazon Workers United. We have two Amazon workers who are organizing for justice at their work in their warehouse. We have distorted their voices to protect their identity. So worker number one.
Tell our listeners what about the key role Amazon workers about the key role that Amazon workers play in the United States and the global economy, and the significance of Amazon workers organizing across the country and around the world.
So Amazon workers, we represent a huge amount of the workforce of the United States, and we are we're unorganized right now thanks to the a combination of the union busting efforts of Amazon and to the overall lull in labor power over the last 40 years. So in that period of time, companies have been able to start taking advantage of unskilled labor and people who are who need a job, and they're willing to, they will hire you on the spot. They will hire you without an interview. They just want bodies, and they don't really want you to stick around for longer than a year or so, or less. If you start getting injured, they want you out. So this is a whole strategy that they have of just continually processing human beings into their factories. You can call them factories, in order to wear down their bodies and then discard them. And an organized workforce would be able to stand up to them. And right now we're just not organized. We have warehouses all over the state, all over the region, and inside are hundreds, sometimes thousands of workers. And we actually could, this is comparable to what you could see in, you can compare this to some of the major labor uprisings that have occurred in history, like the steel or auto workers, who were central to the U.S. economy and were actually able to usher in new eras of labor organizing and help start a fire. I think that's one of the hopes, is that this huge pool of unorganized people can become a major force in taking us out of the neoliberal era and into an era of workers and worker solidarity and workers' rights becoming preeminent again.
Do you have anything you want to add to that? So Amazon warehouses in particular, there are hundreds of them across the country, are right, a link in the global assembly line, which could be choke points and have a huge impact on the economy, as not just the company, if there were effective strike action. The Amazon website states, we strive to be a great place to work and to create products and services that have a big impact on our customers and the communities where they live. A company that creates thousands of good, well-paying jobs in communities across the country and around the world. At Amazon, we look for individuals at every level, in every role, who understand that they are what we're trying to build and are excited to be part of it. We reward people well for their contributions, from a $15 minimum wage to comprehensive health care on day one, to providing the same generous benefits to our hourly employees as we do to our most senior executives. Amazon has many warehouses in low-income areas providing vital jobs to these communities. The workers are respected, valued, and the leadership team prioritizes serving our associates and removing barriers from their work environment. Safety is our top priority, and we commit to provide a safe, fun work environment. We have a voice of the associate board, where our associates can voice any concerns they have out on the floor. Our general manager has an open-door policy, where anyone in the warehouse can have a meeting with him. We have appeals panels made up of peers if an associate feels they are unjustly written up, and the entire leadership team walks the floor, where we hear about barriers our associates are facing. So that's what the company website says. Is it true?
No. No. 15-hour minimum wage is a new thing. It is true. It still doesn't feel like enough compared to what we are expected to do. The health care on day one is non-existent, especially if you're hired seasonally, which most people are. You start seasonal, and even after a period of time, when you become what they call blue badge, everybody is still part-time. Therefore, you don't get benefits because you're part-time. And there are people who put in more hours, up to 40 to 60, and they're still considered part-time employees, therefore they do not have any benefits. Providing vital jobs to the communities, yes, they hire on the spot, but it's really not enough, and people leave off like quickly as they get there. I think I've seen many first day people just leave because it's not great in there. Safety being the top priority is garbage. And the voice of the associate board, I've known many people to write multiple different things regarding safety in many different aspects of what we need safety in, whether it be drivers or having a good first aid kit in the warehouse. So there's just a lot of safety that's actually lacking. And then when it is brought up, there's a lot of shrugging of shoulders, like, oh, well, it's somebody else higher up's problem. And then nothing is really done about it. So committing to provide a fun, safe work environment is not anywhere accurate.
So what are some of the main problems? You mentioned a few. What are some of the others that you all are dealing with at Amazon?
We have absolutely no control over the amount of work we're expected to do on any given day. We are constantly told this is the amount of volume that we have to push through, and that number could be extremely high one day compared to the other days where it might have been in an average of something. But that extremely high volume is then just, that's the workload and you've got to do it. So that means very often that we'll have, we'll be worked extra hard just because, and we can't, what do we say about it? What do we do about it? Thankfully, there is a little bit of pushback from some of the workers as far as like how long we will work. But if we weren't pushing back, they would just keep working us. But we've actually had to say we're not going to work past certain times, and we're not going to take this kind of treatment. So I would also say that just the facilities are really run down. You would go into this warehouse and see the way that the bathrooms look, see the way that the break rooms are, try using the microwaves, and you would have the impression that this was a company that was going under, that was running on an incredibly low budget. And it is, because they are constantly trying to push costs down and efficiency up. So what we end up with is an environment where if we stand still at certain times, depends on the manager. If we stand still, a manager will come up to us and say, "What are you doing? Are you getting any work done?" They've started to try to track whether we're actually doing anything at all by saying if they assign us to a job in the warehouse that isn't normally monitored by our devices, because we have devices that monitor us most of the time. But if they assign us to something else, then they start scanning our badges and say that they're doing some tracking of labor to make sure that they can show why people weren't for 15 or 20 minutes doing the roles that they were expected to. Also, we get the minimum mandated break time, which is 10 minutes, but we are doing incredibly physical work, and that 10 minutes is the shortest period of time that we could possibly have, especially when you are, if you're starting very early or if you're starting very late, which is common to be doing odd hours. The first break that you get is going to be, you've got 10 minutes with a little bit of commute time on either side, and if you're a minute late, you're going to get written up, you're going to have someone standing there shaming you, and you will get yelled at about it in the morning. It's at times a militaristic environment. But that varies based on managers. Some try to be nice about it, but they're all given a script that says, that essentially shames us for wanting to take rest, and shames us for wanting to not have to work twice as hard one day and make the exact same amount of money. So at times it feels like the warehouse is run more by an algorithm than it is by human beings, and that the, when the manager says someone higher up, sometimes it's unclear if that was a machine that told them what to do, and that they're just trying to follow orders from literally a machine that has said how much we should be expected to do. And then when the human reality comes in and butts up against that, then suddenly everyone in management is depressed because they're not meeting their quota. And we're like, well, we're just relieved that we got to stop working on time and go to lunch on time. Like, that's a nice little bonus for the day. So
what would you say are some of the main problems besides these that your comrade has mentioned that you're dealing with?
I just have big issues of lack of safety, of there are people with special needs and or deaf, and there is often not the appropriate things that they need to either be able to safely see that, you know, a drive lane is safe to walk across if there's a sound that they cannot hear because they are deaf, or proper first aid. Like, the just having the right size Band-Aid can make a world of difference. After complaining about or just letting management know that you're injured or that there is something hurting, just go a little longer and see how it feels then. And these are things that I've heard, and I've heard from other coworkers. Yeah, safety is kind of a big thing. And then with during peak season or during the holiday season, just the amount of employees who are in this warehouse, is there's really not enough room. There's not enough room in the break room. There's not enough water cups to keep up with the amount of people that are going through there. So having enough soap, you know, in the bathroom, like little things, but in a work environment like that, safety is to me really important, because it's a close proximity place. So, yeah.
So which of these problems have you been trying to change, and what kind of response have you got?
We've had some success in pushing back against overwork, and that's been something that people are exhausted. People quit just because they're being overworked, and so the people who are left are very often people who are just willing to take it. And so trying to organize around, like, we need to stand up and say that this isn't okay. It can be a challenge because some people need the paycheck and are I think, just used to in America that you do what the boss tells you. So that's been some, we've had some successes there. Some of the other issues, I think that speed and volume are always going to be ongoing for us, but improving the facilities is something that's got some people excited. Air conditioning would be amazing. When it gets hot, we can have a warehouse that's in the high 80s. And we're already doing what is sweaty work if it's 60 degrees in the warehouse, which it can get down to the 60s, low 60s in the winter. But it's sweaty even in the winter for us to do this work. And then we have add on top of that we're in the high 80s. And just imagine all the heavy boxes that you've ever seen someone delivering from Amazon or that have shown up on your front door. Imagine someone having to move those boxes around from a conveyor belt to a rack to a bag, from a bag, then back onto another rack, and then into a car. You have to imagine all of those different stages going on inside of a warehouse, and there's a person doing that, but it's 88 degrees inside of that warehouse. So those are the kind of things that I think that... it's just why what they said on their website, what Amazon says on their website about providing a safe, fun work environment and safety is our top priority. I mean, that's just wrong. Profit is their top priority, for sure. And making profit off of our labor, the amount of money that we're generating for Amazon and for Jeff Bezos on the daily is well over the amount that we are making. We'll take home $70, $75 a day, and Jeff Bezos will take home $250 million. I'm sure our warehouse is generating a lot of that wealth that is his now. And that's wealth that we created.
So how did you get involved with organizing with your coworkers?
I was upset about some things that were happening, and I was going up to management and just voicing some of my concerns. I didn't feel like much was happening. I just happened to be approached by two other coworkers who just shared some of the annoyances that I had and the dissatisfaction, and kind of just had lunch, and I learned that there was other people who were also upset, and I just kind of had this aha moment of I'm not the only one who's upset, and I'm not the only one who's mad, and I am a strong person. I can do a lot of things, but a lot of things happen quicker and better when you have other people supporting you in it. And it's something that I believe in. So that was a big part of it too. And then so I just started going to meetings outside of work. And here I am.
So this is happening around the country. Workers are organizing in Amazon. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening in other cities?
Sure. Certainly in Minneapolis is one of the shining lights of this right now, with the A. Wood Center and the Somali workers there who have were able to organize a little mini strike, a three-hour strike. They were able to organize their own co-workers. They're mostly people who are Somali and they're part of a community already. But then other workers with them in a certain area of their warehouse in Minneapolis were able to organize them and get them to all decide to just use their unpaid time for 3 hours and to say they hand wrote a list of demands, and they were able to actually get some concessions out of that. Management doesn't like this, and there has been some signs of retaliation. Like in Minneapolis, one of their comrades was someone who actually doesn't technically work for Amazon, but someone who works for the their security/custodial service, and is a contractor. And Amazon loves contractors. More people in the building, but people they're not responsible for. And this one of these people was solidarity, also did the strike, and they were fired from that contractor. So it was harder for them to defend him, and because this was something that could be traced back to Amazon technically, because it was a contractor that did that. But they've had some good success in and they've also been able to get the message out and share that message with us through the media, through social media, that they're organizing and trying to protest the conditions. And they're the ones who coined the slogan that we're humans, not robots. And that's been a rallying cry for all of us. And it's something that we all feel, because we all feel like we're going to be replaced by robots at any point. Mm-hmm. It could happen. And with Bezos out there showing how animatronic arms work and how he can make all these robotic presentations showing how in love with robots he is, the overall feeling is that if we were robots, we would be making them happier than what we currently are. In fact, I have seen them try to get us to compete with robots, that they have what they claim are essentially stats about how fast a robot can do our work, and they try to get us to compete with that statistic in order to show that we're actually better than the robot. And that doesn't make us feel good, because that makes us feel as if we're going to be replaced by that robot if we don't do well enough, or even if we do well enough, they're just going to improve that robot. So I'm not as familiar with some of the other places, but there's organizing going on elsewhere, and just people standing up and doing actions and trying to get concessions. And sometimes Amazon will concede and they will give things up. They will actually hear the workers. I don't think that's to their credit. I think that's because they know that they would be bad if they didn't.
If you're just tuning in, this is KBOO Portland Labor Radio. We're talking with
Amazon workers who are organizing for better conditions. So what can community members do in solidarity with your organizing?
Well, what community members can do, sometimes people, when they hear about this, they think that the best thing that they can do is just boycott Amazon and stop using Amazon. And I will say, as a worker at Amazon, I don't care. I don't. You know, if a boycott was going to work, then we could try to, we would make that a strategy. But this is a company that's inserted itself into the American economy and radically changed the American economy. So I think what community members can do is find where people are organizing and support them. Can support them financially. Amazon workers don't make that much money, and people who are organizing need that help. They can also get connected with the local organizations, could be the IWW, could be the DSA, that are doing organizing inside of Amazon. If you can join that and support that work, then you can actually assist the workers and give them your expertise, if you have any in labor organizing or any in other areas. Sometimes it's just helpful to have more people wanting to do the organizing outside of what's going on inside the warehouses. There's also just making sure that this is an issue that you're aware of and that you're sharing out with the rest of the people in your life. And if you are hearing, when you hear about, you know, sometimes Bernie Sanders or Ilhan Omar, they're talking about Amazon, they're sharing out what's going on with Amazon, pay attention to that and figure out why it is that this is important to some of our leaders and not others.
So I hear it's pretty easy to get hired at Amazon warehouses. Do you want more people to come work at Amazon with you?
Yes and no. One, because we need support from the inside, and really that's how I believe it'll change. It is really easy to get hired at Amazon. They do on-the-spot things, and for myself, I had just moved and I was in a pinch. I needed a job. I showed up with a resume and a nice outfit thinking it was an interview, to find out that there was roughly 20 other people in the room with me in ripped cut-off shorts and flip-flops and smelling like last night's hangover. And it was really surprising. And it is very true. They hire everyone. In certain ways, I think that's great because they do hire people with special needs or, you know, certain disabilities, and that's great, but they just need to, like, treat us better, and then it would, something, I don't know, might be better.
So you'd love to have people get a job and come help work with you and organize.
Correct.
To make this place a better,
yes,
better place. So how can our listeners keep in touch with and find out about Amazon workers who are organizing for better working conditions?
So there's an Amazon Workers Solidarity campaign that you can find. It's both on social media like Facebook. There's organizing around that in many different regions, and it's definitely worth finding that out. It could be called something different, but if you look for that Amazon Workers Solidarity campaign, you'll be able to find people who are doing the work, and that's how you can keep in touch. It would be great if you can get connected with a local organization that is doing this work, then you can help support it.
Cool. Do you have any last thoughts for our listeners?
I just want to encourage everyone to think about what it means when a company this big has as much power as it does, and to think about this as it's sometimes easy to believe that the things that we need to do to change the world are the small things, like not buy things from Amazon, and you know, not drive your car so much, and you know, vote. And what I would encourage everyone is to consider how it is that we would actually be able to start opposing a company that could literally buy up many of the smaller countries on the planet. If that's what they're capable of, and they're doing it on the backs of the workers, then how is it that we're going to be able to fight back? We have to be able to have solidarity with each other inside, and we have to know that we have the community support outside, and then we have to put pressure on this company so that they will actually have to change. Because they will continue to grow and to to have unsafe conditions and to squeeze as much work out of us as possible until we fight back.
Thank you. And one final word, full disclosure, I'm a member of the Amazon Workers Solidarity Campaign, and here in the Portland area, we're sponsoring two community rallies during Amazon Prime Week, which is in mid-July. You can get details at the Jobs with Justice website or the PDX Amazon Workers Solidarity Campaign Facebook page. But very quickly, on Tuesday, July 16th, we will be rallying at PDX 5, which is the Amazon Sortation Center in Hillsboro, 7 to 8:30 p.m. And on Wednesday, July 17th, we will be rallying at DPD 1, which is the Amazon Delivery Center in Northwest Portland, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. So if you want to show solidarity with Amazon workers in this struggle, come on out and join us. That wraps us up for this week's Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday, 6 o'clock on KBOO. Thanks to our engineer, Mike, and stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.